assigned me was faith in doing good to others. So I'm practicing on you today. But it's much more than just practicing, because it is something that all of us need to be concerned with. You know why? Because Jesus puts serving others, doing good to others, So I'm practicing on you today. But it's much more than just practicing, because it is something that all of us need to be concerned with. You know why? Because Jesus puts serving others and doing good to others right next to our relationship with God. In fact, when he's asked, what is the greatest commandment? The response is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind. And watch this now. Don't miss this. Because he says, the second is likened unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So any of us that are going to take the journey of faith, somewhere in that journey, we are going to have to stop and ask the question, who is my neighbor? Because again, Jesus tells us that the Father is a Father who is concerned about all of his children, even the very least of his children. You remember on one occasion, Jesus said, I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not come to see me. And the response of the people was, well, Lord, when did we see you like this? Oh, Jesus, if I'd have seen you like that, I'd have gone way out of my way. I'd have done whatever I could to help you out, Jesus. So when did I see you like that? I didn't help you. And Jesus says, watch it now, when you did it not to the least of one of these, your brethren, you did it not unto me. Micah, sage of old, was asking on one occasion in his thoughts and writing it down, asking God what he needed to do. When he said in Micah chapter 6 and beginning with verse 6, with what shall I come before the Lord? And how myself before a high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? With calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams? 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? But listen to this. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To do justly, to show mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. The prophet here is talking about all of these great things. Could I give the Lord 1,000 rams? Would that be what he would require? Would that be what would justify me in the sight of God? Or 10,000 rivers of oil? Would that do it? And what he comes to the conclusion is, you walk humbly, you show mercy to others, and you do what the Lord says to do. We're always looking for these big things. What big thing can I do? And it just might be those little things that keep us from pleasing God. Even failing to help another. Well, Jesus really helps us out with this. In fact, he tells us a story that should really get us to thinking about who is our neighbor. Joe's going to read this for us, and then after that, we're going to make some observations.
Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place, saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, The one who showed mercy. And Jesus said to him, You go and do likewise.
Here in this very familiar story, we call it the Good Samaritan. A lawyer has come to ask Jesus about what is the greatest commandment. Of course, he answers him, love the Lord the God, so-and-so. Second is like this, you should love your neighbor as yourself. Well, the neighbor wanting to be the lawyer wanting to be justified and justify himself, asked the question, well, who is my neighbor? Who qualifies to be my neighbor? Who do I need to look for with these certain special qualities so that I will know that he's my neighbor? And Jesus doesn't even respond to that question as such, but just begins to tell the story. And he tells the story about the Jericho Road. It was known as the Bloody Road because on this Jericho Road, it was very treacherous. Thieves and robbers. And why this man was traveling by himself, who knows? Because that's just something you did not do on the Bloody Road. However, this man is attacked by the thieves and the robbers, and they take everything that he has, and they beat him and they leave him for dead. And so along comes a priest. Awesome! The priest come along. But he walks by on the other side. Levite, the same thing. And this is kind of surprising because of their religious affiliations. Surely, the priest would stop. Surely, Larry would stop and help. He's a preacher. But they pass by on the other side. And the Samaritan, a religious half-breed, again surprising that the Samaritan would help a Jew, because a Jew probably would not help a Samaritan. But the Samaritan stops and he renders aid to the man. He takes care of him there. He makes arrangements for him overnight at an inn. And then Jesus asked the question, to this man, who is his neighbor? And the lawyer said, well, the one that showed mercy. And Jesus promptly says, go and do likewise. But did you notice what Jesus has done? Did you catch it about the neighbor thing? Because Jesus has taken this and he has turned this around. And he's taken it from the object to the subject. It's not the person that was hurt that is the neighbor. Is the person that helped is the neighbor. And so the lawyer is asking, who is my neighbor? And Jesus is asking him, who is the neighbor? So the question is not, who can I find to be a neighbor? The question that Jesus is asking here of every one of us, as he asked this lawyer, he's asking us, are you a neighbor? Are you the neighbor? And so the answer to the question is, who is my neighbor? And the answer is, I am. It's me. It's not a quality found in someone else, it's a quality found in me. And that's kind of odd because it's a radical redefinition. It wasn't at all what the lawyer was asking. The lawyer was trying to justify himself and qualify the answer so that it would fit inside his bubble, his perimeters. And Jesus took it and turned it around and upside down and inside out. And he said, who is the neighbor? And the lawyer could only say, the one that showed mercy. And Jesus says, then go and do likewise. What Jesus was trying to say to all of us is that Christianity is a way of living. And so what do we learn from this story about the Good Samaritan? About helping others? How do we see that our faith is very much tied into what we do and how we do for others? Well, the first thing that we notice here and we learn is that being a neighbor involves a Christian's compassion. There are so many differences between the priest and the Levi and the Samaritan. Neither one of them knew the man. The difference seems to be, the greatest difference though, seems to be in the Samaritan's heart. The victim was unknown, but the Samaritan couldn't pass him by. And so when we talk about this word compassion, oh, how our world needs compassion. One of the great examples that we have of compassion is Jesus himself. Our world is so varied. We're so different in so many ways. And I'm afraid that what's happened is that we have grouped people into these specialized groups. And we've built walls. We've built fences. We've built barriers. We don't see people as individuals anymore. Now, the world has forced us to do this. I understand that. We have been forced to focus on your family and on your group, and that's what it is. So we group black and white, Asian, Hispanic, rich and poor, pretty and ugly, upper class, middle class, lower class. And so what that does is it starts to redefine an individual. And it interferes with our compassion. It interferes with our judgment about who we should help or why we should help. And it takes this definition of a neighbor and it puts it back where the lawyer wanted it. He wanted it on the other guy. He didn't want it on himself. And that's what happens to us. And so we have these little groups. And that's the way we answer the question of who is the neighbor. And that's not how Jesus answered it. That's not how he wanted it answered. Only those with the characteristics that are like mine, those are the ones that are important. And you know what? We don't only see that in the outside world. We can see that right here. Right here inside these walls. You know what the number one thing was assigned me was faith in doing good to others. So I heard that over and again from people that have visited our congregation. But then, are we? I think we aren't friendly, but are we as friendly as we should be or could be? I mean, let me ask you this. How many visitors have you personally? How many visitors have you personally introduced yourself to in the last month? Last year? One of the first things we ought to do when we walk into this auditorium is look around for visitors. And we ought to go and say, hey, glad you're here today. My name's Larry. You're visiting here? You visiting somebody here, or you're just passing through? They say they're looking for a church home. Boy, that's a door wide open, isn't it? But we don't do that. We have a habit of whenever we come in, we're getting everything ready, and I understand that. And when service is over, we're talking here to this group here. We're talking here to this group here. We're talking over here. We're talking over here. And visitors can come and go, and we never say anything to them. And you know I'm telling you the truth. And I'm glad to see you visit with your friends and your family. But a visitor can come and go and never be assigned me anything to
him. What was assigned me was faith in doing good to others. So I'm practicing on you today.
But, it's much more than just practicing, because it is something that all of us need to be concerned with. You know why? Because Jesus puts serving others and doing good to others right next to our relationship with God. In fact, when he's asked, what is the greatest commandment? The response is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind. And watch this now. Don't miss this. Because he says, the second is likened unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So any of us that are going to take the journey of faith, somewhere in that journey, we are going to have to stop and ask the question, who is my neighbor? Because again, Jesus tells us,
was assigned me.
It gets right next to where we are and where we live. When Jesus said, who was the neighbor? And the lawyer had to say, well, the one that reached out. It wasn't the man that got beat up. It was the one that helped him.
Was assigned me was faith in doing good to others. So I'm practicing on you today.
But it's much more than just practicing, because it is something that all of us need to be concerned with. You know why? Because Jesus puts serving others and doing good to others right next to our relationship with God. In fact, when he's asked, what is the greatest commandment? The response is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind. And watch this now. Don't miss this. Because he says, the second is likened unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So any of us that are going to take the journey of faith, somewhere in that journey, we are going to have to stop and ask the question, who is my neighbor? Because again, Jesus tells us that the Father is a Father who is concerned about all of His children, even the very least of His children. You remember on one occasion, Jesus said, I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not come to see me. And the response of the people was, well, Lord, when did we see you like this? Oh, Jesus, if I'd have seen you like that, I'd have gone way out of my way. I'd have done whatever I could to help you out, Jesus. So when did I see you like that? I didn't help you. And Jesus says, watch it now, when you did it not to the least of one of these, your brethren, you did it not unto me. Micah, sage of old, was asking on one occasion in his thoughts and writing it down, asking God what he needed to do. When he said in Micah chapter 6 and beginning with verse 6, with what shall I come before the Lord? And how myself before a high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? With calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams? 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? But listen to this. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To do justly, to show mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. The prophet here is talking about all of these great things. Could I give the Lord 1,000 rams? Would that be what he would require? Would that be what would justify me in the sight of God? Or 10,000 rivers of oil? Would that do it? And what he comes to the conclusion is, you walk humbly, you show mercy to others, and you do what the Lord says to do. We're always looking for these big things. What big thing can I do? And it just might be those little things that keep us from pleasing God. Even opportunities and your abilities will allow you to do, it's your responsibility. Who is the neighbor? Jesus asked. So we can all do something, but if we sit back and wait for somebody to come and ask us for fried chicken, they may never. So you have to know, though, what you can do. If you're great at fried chicken, but you're terrible, you just cannot cook pork chops, don't worry about pork chops. Now, I'm being facetious, of course, but I'm trying to get us to understand that it has to do with ability. Jesus was the master at this dimension of his life. In fact, he could say no to a crowd of needy people when he realized that his limits were being crossed. Or he could say yes to some little children who wanted to see him when his disciples kept him from it. So learning how to be a neighbor, learning how to be effective, begins with learning what was assigned me
was faith in doing good to others. So I'm practicing on you today. But it's much more than just practicing, because it is something that all of us need to be concerned with. You know why? Because Jesus puts serving others and doing good to others right next to our relationship with God. In fact, when he's asked, what is the greatest commandment? The response is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind. And watch this now. Don't miss this. Because he says, the second is likened unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So any of us that are going to take the journey of faith, somewhere in that journey, we are going to have to stop and ask the question, who is my neighbor? Because again, Jesus tells us that the Father is a Father who is concerned about all of his children, even the very least of his children. You remember on one occasion, Jesus said, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not come to see me. And the response of the people was, well, Lord, when did we see you like this? Oh, Jesus, if I'd have seen you like that, I'd have gone way out of my way. I'd have done whatever I could to help you out, Jesus. So when did I see you like that? I didn't help you. And Jesus says, watch it now, when you did it not to the least of one of these, your brethren, you did it not unto me. Micah, sage of old, was asking on one occasion, in his thoughts and writing it down, asking God what he needed to do. When he said in Micah chapter 6 and beginning with verse 6, with what shall I come before the Lord, and how myself before a high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? With calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? But listen to this. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To do justly, to show mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. The prophet here is talking about all of these great things. Could I give the Lord 1,000 rams? Would that be what he would require? Would that be what would justify me in the sight of God? Or 10,000 rivers of oil? Would that do it? And what he comes to the conclusion is, you walk humbly, you show mercy to others,